Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Hippie Witch, magic for a new age. I'm your host, Joanna DeVoe, and this is a happy, hippie place where magic with a K meets the law of attraction. Hi, thanks for joining me for episode 103 of Hippie Witch, Magic for a New Age. My name is Joanna DeVoe, and I am the kooky creatrix behind Kick-Ass Switch, Putting the K in Magic, and Hippie Witch, the show you are listening to right now. I also have a free ebook by that name, Hippie Witch, Peace, Love, and All That Good Shit, and you can pick up a copy of that at www.joannadevoe.com or back on the description page for this episode back at Blog Talk Radio. And thank you so much for those of you who gave me 5 stars in this last week since the last show, Sabrina Blackwell. Especially thank you to you for leaving such kind words on iTunes for me. I really appreciate that. It helps spread the word about the show, and it's just fun to read, so thank you. And today I wanted to talk about the witch that can be named is not the witch. I often say that I live for the mystery. You've probably heard me say that a whole bunch of times. I say that I live for the mystery and that I do not know, positively know, the answers to a whole variety of questions, really, about God and the true nature of existence, which some people expect me to have very clear, defined answers to questions like that because, I don't know, I'm a public speaker and I put myself out there as a teacher. And I say these things, that I live for the mystery and that I do not know, not because I am fatalistically skeptical, not because I am ignorant. I'm also not trying to be confusing or facetious. I do realize that I act like a clown and a complete goofball here sometimes, but that is just the way my personality expresses itself, and it is not a representation of what I know or what I don't know. And what I know, or what I at least claim to know, is that we don't know, and we don't get to know the answers to these ever-fascinating mysteries. And I'm not only okay with that, I fucking love it. I really do. Call me crazy, but this is what turns me on, not knowing and trying to know. I am a chronic seeker, always seeking, always finding new and interesting connections between this thing and that thing, and oh my gosh, and having those big aha moments, and I never want that to end. And lucky for me, I don't think it's ever going to end, because I think that the answers to the big, 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 big questions that we all want to know, they're fairly unanswerable, at least from this limited human perspective. And I titled today's show, The Witch That Can Be Named Is Not the Witch, as a spin on the first verse of the Tao, which I shall now proceed to read to you, lest I, you know, veer so far off course that I wind up failing to make this one simple point. And because I had a lot of those, like, ding, 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 aha moment connections leading up to this show that I found very exciting, I thought I should start by saying why I named the show what I did, because that's the one point that I actually want to make here. The Tao that can be named is not the Tao. The God that can be named is not the God. That's the essence of what I'm trying to say. And here's how the real verse goes. The Tao that can be told is not the eternal Tao. The name that can be named is not the eternal name. The nameless is the beginning of heaven and earth. The named is the mother of 10,000 things. Ever desireless, one can see the mystery. Ever desiring, one can see the manifestations. These two spring from the same source but differ in name. Disappears as darkness. Darkness within darkness. the gate to all mystery. And I love that the first chapter of Wayne Dyer's book, Change Your Thoughts, Change Your Life, I love that the first chapter of that book, which is an extension of this first verse of the Tao, I love that it's called Living the Mystery. Living the Mystery. Live for the Mystery. And I highly recommend that book as an introduction to Taoism. It's very modern. It's very easy to understand. It's very clean and simple. And you can do it as a daily devotional for 81 days. So you can do that book as an 81-day spiritual experience. And I can assure you, as someone who has done that a few times, I really love committing myself to 81 days of devotional using that book. It's a journey well worth taking. And in case you're wondering what the Tao is, Tao, spelled T-A-W-T, I know it sounds like a D, but it's really a T. Wikipedia says it well enough. Taoism, it's an ism. Taoism is an ancient tradition of philosophy and religious belief that is deeply rooted in Chinese customs and worldview. No, I am not Chinese, but I really like Taoism, and I've stolen this from them, as have many. This is a tradition that has touched many traditions and has influenced many different spiritual paths. It's a philosophy that goes very well with pantheism, and I call myself a pantheist witch. And I suppose that it is pantheism. That's what it looks like to me. I didn't look that up for you today, but I'm sure a simple Google search will tell you if Taoism is officially considered pantheism, but from my understanding of Taoism, it is. It's very pantheistic. And it also goes very well with certain kinds of witchcraft. Those of us that call ourselves pantheist witches, I think we can really enhance our spiritual practice by studying the Tao and learning these principles. They'll blow your mind, really, especially if you use that book I recommended by Wayne Dyer, because it's not so highfalutin. It's easy to grasp and understand. They're little, like, bite-sized chunks that you can take every day. You may also want to look up a series of videos on YouTube by a Wiccan high priest her name is Susie Pelletier, I think. I was going to say she goes by the name Susie Pelletier, but I think that's actually her name. And she started a tradition called Taoist Wicca. And I've watched those videos so many times. She might be the first person that gave me the idea to start blending witchcraft and Taoism. It makes a lot of sense when she talks about it. Those are very well done professional videos, very simple and easy to understand what she's saying. You can find it very simply even just by doing a Google search on Taoist Wicca, T-A-O, Taoist Wicca. So there, that's what I wanted to say about the title of this show. But now I'm just going to veer off in a number of different directions because I've had a lot of light bulb moments around this in recent weeks, and I'm excited to share this with you. So I hope you can go on this ride with me and hang with me. When people say that they talk to Jesus, let's start with Jesus, because I've talked a lot about Jesus this year, and people keep wanting to talk to me about Jesus from a variety of perspectives. And I am not a Christian. Let me repeat that for those of you who might be new to the show. But when people say that they talk to Jesus, I have to believe that they do, because I grew up talking to Jesus in a very real way. I prayed to Jesus, but more than that, I had an ongoing dialogue with Jesus. So when people say that, I believe them. I also have to take people at face value when they say that they are in communication with Ganesh, or Buddha, or Archangel Michael, or Mother Mary, or the entire Greek pantheon. But what I can't get with is someone saying that their truth is the truth, because it's not. It might feel like the truth because it's your truth, and your truth feels so absolutely true to you. But so does the truth that has people calling themselves a Muslim or a Jew. And those are thoughts that I had when I was a teenager and I started to reject the Christianity that I was growing up in. I started thinking, well, you know, I'm told this is the one true path, and then I see all these other religions that are saying, no, this is the one true path. And I got into studying all the different religions and things that have stuck with me that I've explored that I still incorporate into my practice include Taoism and some forms of Buddhism and some of the tenets of yoga and some New Agey things, as you probably know. And I like to give credit where credit is due. I'm not trying to overwhelm you with books. I do my, you know, book nerd posts every other week, and I'm always recommending books. I'm not saying go out and read these books. You have to, although I do recommend that Wayne Dyer book that I just mentioned. And I do recommend this book that I'm about to mention, but I'm really just trying to give credit where credit is due because I am sharing wisdom that I have learned from other people that are sharing their wisdom, and I think it's good to trace that back to the source, and I want people to give credit to me when they're using my ideas, so I always try to give credit where credit is due. Someone posted in the private group for the Psycho Spiritual Wheel of the Year, she started, hello Kat, she started a whole thread of, you know, free ebooks. Every day on Amazon, there's a new collection of ebooks that you can get for $0. And she always shares with us ones that are particularly witchy or magical or spiritual in some way. And she shared a book called Principles of Magic by someone called Jeffrey Pierce, who I had never heard of before. And I don't click on those links very often, to be honest. I'm sorry, Kat, but there's a lot of them. But this one called to me, and I clicked on it, and it was no longer free. But something about it was just calling to me, and I was like, oh, fuck it, I'll just part with, you know, the few bucks because I really am curious about this, and I want to see what this guy has to say. And I hate reading books on Kindle. I'm such a paperback junkie. I love paper books. So this was very unusual that I did it. That I bought a Kindle book based on nothing but just like a hunch. I didn't even read the description, but I have to say, after I bought it, I realized like, oh, this is the book I'm supposed to read right now. So much of what he says just completely resonates with me and is really, really exciting and got me thinking a lot about what I wanted to talk about today. And he was talking about... Let me gather my focus here because I'm getting too excited about this book. It's called Principles of Magic, if you want to look it up, Magic with a K. He was talking about what I'm saying here about how different people think that their truth is the one truth. And two examples he gave, I'll give you the first one because the second one I'm really going to go off on. The first one he was saying, you know, if you stand really, really close to certain paintings, you might just see a dot. Or a brush stroke, but let's just say a dot. So you're staring at this dot, and to you, this dot is the whole painting. It's everything. It's all you can see. But the person standing next to you staring at the painting is seeing a completely different dot and is like, no, this dot is the truth. And you're like, no, this dot is the truth. But the further and further you back away from that dot, the more dots you start to see, and you're like, oh, those dots are also the truth. Oh, and those dots over there, and those dots over there. And then you keep backing away, and you keep backing away until a fuller picture starts to come into view. And if you back away further, far enough, you see the whole picture, which I don't even know if we can see the whole picture of the whole universe and that whole mystery I was talking about. But that's the idea here. Another principle that he talks about is this idea of lenses and how the reality that we experience and the things that we see have to do with different colored lenses, the way that we're looking at the world through different lenses. And this is something that I'm going to mention throughout this episode. So let's just think of it as like, rose-colored glasses or glasses with blue-tinted lenses or amber-colored lenses. If you're looking out at the world through amber-tinted lenses, things are going to look very golden, and you can look at the same mountainscape as someone standing next to you with a pair of blue-tinted lenses, and you're both going to see mountains, but they're going to take on a different tone and a different feeling. So I like to think about it kind of as like being a witch and someone who consciously creates your own religion. I think of pagans who like select their pantheons, which made no sense to me whatsoever when I first started learning about Wicca specifically and paganism. This was actually a huge sticking point for me and a big turnoff was like, okay, if I'm going to reject the God that I was raised on, why would I go out and look for other gods to start worshiping or other goddesses? And now I'm seeing it more like different lenses for experiencing the divine and like going into this kind of spiritual lens crafters and purposely selecting the glasses that you want to see, the glasses that you want to look at the divine through, because the divine is so big. The divine is that painting that you can't fully take in, that you have to look at it through a certain set of lenses to grasp even a little bit of that reality, a little bit of that truth. And you might choose to wear the orange-tinted glasses, or you might choose to wear the purple-tinted glasses, or you might choose... like some funky people, to wear one green lens and one purple lens and walk a blended path. You're just taking a multifaceted approach to your perspective and to your magic and to your spiritual path. And it's interesting to me to think about that also because there's a lot of arguing in pagan circles about whether people can blend paths, specifically Christianity, with witchcraft. And there are people that wholeheartedly, vehemently say, no way can you do this. And then there are other people who say, yeah, you can. I'm doing it right now. I'm telling you, I'm doing it. This is because they are looking through two totally different lenses. The people who say it can't be done, they're wearing green colored glasses. They're only seeing the truth from that perspective. The people that are saying, no, it can be done, they're looking through a totally different set of glasses. Does that make sense? It made sense to me when I read it. Another book that I'm reading, I usually read, five or so books at the same time because I'm a book nerd. That book nerd that can be named is not the book nerd. That's just the label I wear, people. Another book that I actually just started reading, I am not very far into it, I'm just a few chapters in, but is Spirit of the Witch by Raven Grimassi. I'm really liking it so far. But something he was saying in the introduction and in the introductory chapters, my cat, oh my gosh, I don't even know how many times my cats have interrupted my train of thought when I'm trying to do this show. So now they're locked outside. One is standing outside the dining room door, and there's like a swinging screen door, and he's banging it back and forth trying to get my attention. And I'm going to try so hard to hold on so I can finish this show somewhat coherently today. Okay, what am I trying to say about Spirit of the Witch and dots and glasses? Okay, in the introductory, one of the introductory chapters, I don't remember which one, to Spirit of the Witch, Raven Grimassi was saying that he used to always teach, start with classes he was teaching on witchcraft by doing this exercise he called the View of Crystal. And he would take a large, oddly shaped piece of crystal, and he would put it in the middle of the room, and then he would have his students sit around the crystal, and then one at a time, they would describe what they saw what the crystal was, what the truth of the crystal, what they were seeing. This is kind of like the whole dots and painting thing. And they would all describe something completely different. And were they describing the crystal in all its, you know, facets? No, they weren't. They were just describing their one perspective, their point of view, the limited truth of that crystal that they could see and experience. And he would start his classes, he would start teaching people by first teaching them that we're all just looking through this limited perspective, this limited lens, this limited point of view. And I think that's so cool that he actually started his training that way and invited people to have an open mind. And he also talks about, he tells this little fable about how these devotees of this master spiritual teacher, he sent them off into the world, and they all went off into the world, and they learned contradictory teachings to what he had taught them. And they came back to him, and they were like, teacher, you know, we learned all of these other truths, and people are saying these are the real truths, but they conflict with the truth that you taught us. Like, what is the truth? What is the one truth? Please tell us, teacher. And the teacher's answer, according to Raven Grimassi, was this. I included this on Facebook today with my post promoting the show. So I will read that here for those of you that missed it. He said, all of the religions of the world are like individual pearls, each of them formed around a different grain of sand in different waters under different conditions. But if you ask me which is the true pearl, I will tell you that none of them are the one true pearl. Instead, the truth is the thread that runs through, holding them together as a necklace. And that is the one truth you seek. Very cool, right? So all these different metaphors are really saying the same thing, but I thought it'd be fun to promote, to approach them from different perspectives. Different lenses, trying on the lens of the pearl, and then the painting, and then what, the glasses, the crystal. And this totally applies to how other people see us and how we see ourselves as well. It applies to people as well, and the labels that we put on ourselves and the labels other people put on us, which is why I named this show The Witch That Can Be Named Is Not The Witch. I am not a witch. I am a spirit having a human experience, and because of my limited ability to take in the entirety of the great mystery of the divine, because of my limited ability to even take in the entirety of who I am as a spirit and part of that divine, I give myself labels. I go to the proverbial lens crafters of spirituality, and I pick out the witchy rainbow-tinted glasses that I choose to look out on the world, you know, at the world on. And I could just as easily try on and decide to wear the rose-colored glasses of the New Age Ascension movement, and that would be an equally valid point. And I've worn those glasses before. I just decided rainbow suited me better. I also think that this is an extremely important concept to consider when it comes to the labels that we put on people when they are very young. When we are young, when we are children, we are vulnerable to our parents and churches and schools and the media's influence, so much so that they might pick out our glasses for us. So if someone labels us a slut, and we take that energy in as a fact, we might start looking at and interacting with the world as a slut or a loser or an asshole or a thief or whatever label it is they put on us. So be very careful with what you say to young people, especially young children, because you never know how you might be coloring their reality. Jeffrey Pierce, also in the Principles of Magic, talks about something that he calls the reality bubble. And I'm not going to get into great detail about that here. Maybe I will at another time. But the short story is that for your magic to really kick ass, for it to work most effectively, it must work within your reality bubble. You got to go with the flow of reality, and you got to work within your reality bubble, both your own personal reality bubble and the physical reality that you have agreed to, that we've all agreed to living here on planet Earth, as well as the reality of magic. So reality bubble is kind of just another metaphor for what we're talking about here today. But in short, everything has its own story, its own journey, including magic, and you want to go with the flow of that rather than challenge it or try to force it outside the confines of the of its reality. And this, to me, is most evidence in our own psyches and how far we are willing to let ourselves go before we pull ourselves back or hit a shadow belief that stands in our way, or something that's like outside the vision of what we can see through those tinted glasses, if you want to look at it that way. It's about orientation, your orientation to the world, to God, Goddess, or the universe, your orientation to magic and to yourself. It's about perspective, as Raven Grimassi demonstrated so well with that view of the crystal exercise. And this is so good to know. It's validating to those of us practicing a religion of our own making. And FYI, yes, there is a religion based on the Jedi Knights of Star Wars. And I totally love that. I love that. It says so much that that actually exists as a religion. And it's validating to those of us who walk an eclectic path or who pull from a variety of traditions. It also means that if something does not fall within your reality bubble, that it cannot touch you. Insults, for example. There was someone talking on Facebook recently about people using the term fluffy bunny as an insult. You're only going to feel insulted if you consider that term an insult. And if somewhere deep down inside you fear secretly that you are exactly what is meant when that term is used in a derogatory fashion. Otherwise, it's not part of your reality bubble. It's not visible through the, you know, colored lenses that you're wearing. Otherwise, you will feel nothing when a term like fluffy bunny is hurled your way, or you might just simply be amused by it. Hell, you might even make a fluffy bunny t-shirt. because it does not strike a chord in you at all. It does not offend you, no matter how much offense was intended by the offender, because it's not part of your reality bubble. This is exactly what happens when random religious zealots try to leave comments on my videos about how I'm going to hell and how I'm a Satan worshiper or how I need to be saved. I'm like, ha, nope, delete. And no charge occurs. I don't feel an emotional charge when some random person tries to tell me that, because going to hell, worshiping Satan, or needing to be saved, they're just not part of my reality bubble. They used to be, which I suppose is also worth pointing out, as it's another cool thing about this whole idea of a reality bubble. Your bubble will grow and change as you do. It's like your very own magical force field. but as with all things, this bubble, it has a flip side, and it can also act as a cage. So, for example, people will often, using magic or the law of attraction, try to manifest things into their reality that they're not yet ready for, things that do not fit inside their reality bubble. And so they end up rejecting or fucking them up in some way. They self-sabotage, much like those lottery winners who are lifted out of poverty by a winning lottery number. But then they spend the money almost as fast as they can on unempowering, frivolous things, because being wealthy or even just being financially free is outside the reality that they are willing to accept. They are currently working with a poverty mentality. And until they can shift into a new paradigm or replace the filter on their lenses, they will not know how to be with this new reality and therefore will reject it. Does that make sense? This happens to us in love. People who continue to attract the same kind of abusive or otherwise inappropriate partners into their lives, rejecting the nice guys along the way or the nice girls in favor of these assholes because that is how they were raised. It's all they know. And even though they long for a healthy, genuine love that is pure and kind, even though they are casting all kinds of magical intentions in that direction, they will not be able to receive that reality until they switch out their lenses or expand their reality bubble. I was going to talk about Robert Ojeda talking about how channeling certain channels also, they experience divine truth, but only through their lenses. So certain channels, Esther Hicks, Edgar Cayce, people like that, they might talk about Jesus, but that's just because they're wearing the Jesus lenses as they're delivering this divine message to you. But that doesn't mean the message isn't true. It just means it's coming through a certain kind of lens. And I've completely run out of time, but I think I said all I wanted to say. And I'm sending you much love until we meet again. And peace until next Tuesday, noon, Pacific.